Today's daf is the very last daf of the first parak of Masechta Shabbos. It is Shabbos daf chaf today. We are holding on daf Yutes and Beis. We're at the mission at the end of daf Yutes and Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, by Shani and Brian Sober in honor of Rosh Chodesh, by Chani and JJ Hornblast to mark the end of Shloshim for JJ's great aunt, a Holocaust survivor, Elizabeth Fried, Devorah Bas Moshe, Meir Neshavav and Aliyah, and by Dr. Avishai and Elisheva Newman in honor of all of the Hatzalah members, doctors, nurses on the front lines battling the coronavirus. Hashem should watch over them. Amen. So we thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. And again, we're holding on Daf Yutes Amud Beis, and the Mishnah is going to discuss, you know, we've had a whole bunch of discussions about things that there was a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel about whether you're allowed to start a malacha on Erev Shabbos that will continue into Shabbos. So this Mishnah is going to talk about malachos that even the Beis Hillel would say that you can't begin on Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. And then the Gemara is going to talk about the notion of ma'achal ben drusai, that sometimes a food gets to the point where it's barely edible, and that has ramifications both in terms of shihia, in terms of leaving something cooking from Erev Shabbos, as well as in terms of Bishul Akum, and we're going to see that we're going to compare those two halachos to each other. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why there's no concern of Shemi Yechate, that you might come to stoke the coals of a Karban Pesach, and also why there's no such concern by the Beis HaMokad, the fire that would keep the Kohanim warm in the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the notion of Rov, that a fire is allowed to be started on Erev Shabbos if Rov of the Madur catches fire before Shabbos. So we're going to have to define how do we measure rov? Rov of each piece of wood, rov of the circumference of each piece of wood, rov of the thickness of each piece of wood, and are there any exceptions? Are there any things, any types of fires that you don't even require rov in order to allow the fire to be lit from Erev Shabbos and stay lit going into Shabbos? And that's going to bring us all the way to the end of the first perek. And then, Bez Hashem, we're going to begin the second perek, which is a perek of Mishnayos that we're certainly all familiar with, perek Bamim Adlikin, and the Mishnah is going to discuss which wicks and oils are kosher to use for Shabbos candles. And the Gemara is going to identify the various wicks and oils that the Mishnah lists, because the Mishnah is just going to tell us names of things, but we don't necessarily know what those things are. It's one of those things where even if you look at an English translation, it doesn't necessarily help you unless you're very familiar with all the different types of wicks and oils. Even in English, we're not that familiar with what they mean. So we're going to have to see what the klalim, the Gemara is trying to, the Mishnah is trying to express, actually are. So let's begin with the Mishnah on daf Yutes Amud Beis. So again, previous Mishnayos, we had a machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, if you're allowed to start malachos on Erev Shabbos with the intention that those malachos would be completed on Shabbos on their own. But there are certain situations where Beis Shammai is moda to Beis Hillel that you're allowed to start malachos on Erev Shabbos, and now we're going to have situations where Beis Hillel is moda to Beis Shammai that there are certain malachos that you're not allowed to start on Erev Shabbos, even though the malachos going to be completed on Shabbos. So ein solin basar betzel beitza ella kadesh yatzolim miba odiyom. A person cannot begin the roasting of a meat or onion or eggs al menas that the roasting will be completed on Shabbos. You have to only make sure, you can only do it if you're going to make sure that the roasting will be completed miba odiyom, that it will be fully roasted before Shabbos starts. Well, we'll see if it means fully roasted, but at least roasted enough before Shabbos starts. Einos in pasla tanurim chashecha. You can't put bread into an oven close to when Shabbos begins. Velo charora al gabe gecholim, nor a different type of dough on top of coals. Ela kadei sheyikremu panem yibod yom. Unless it's enough, unless it's going to be able to crust mibod yom before Shabbos begins. The Meiri raises the question. I'm just going to mute everyone again. The Meiri raises the question: what's the toelas of putting pas in a tanur or charara al gabi cholam on erev Shabbos? If anyway there's such an issur that we learned about already called redias hapas, you're not allowed to take dough off of an oven on Shabbos anyway. So if there's going to be an issur of redias hapas, which is an issur. Which is an Isser Midrabanan. I'm trying to mute everybody. For some reason, it's not working. I think it worked. Okay. So when it comes to if Rediyas HaPas is anyway going to be Aser, so then why is it that that you're allowed to what's the toelas of putting Pas in the Tanur before Yantav? You're not going before Shabbos. You're not going to be able to take the Pas out of the Tanur anyway. So the Meiri writes in the name of Yesh Mefarshim that when it comes to a Charara, we're talking about a case where you wait until the Gechal are totally died out, and therefore you're able to take it off. It's not a violation for Rediyas HaPas. Rediyas HaPas is when you have the dough around the oven, but you have a charara al gabi gechalim. So if the gechalim are still active, you would not be able to take the charara off of the gechalim, because it would be that would cause havara to happen. But if you wait until they're totally died down, until there's no flame in those gechalim anyway, then it would be mutter. And Rediyas HaPas would be mutter if the case is that you're not doing a Rediyas HaPas. Maybe the case of the pas and the tanur, it's talking about where you're going to wait till it falls off on its own the next day. You're not going to take it out. You're not going to violate Rediyas HaPas. But be that as it may, whatever the svara is, why we're not worried about Rediyas HaPas over here, it seems that we're not. We're not worried about Rediyas HaPas, but the issue is, the Mishnah says, you can't put bread into an oven on Erev Shabbos unless it's going to crust before Shabbos begins. Rabbi Elazar Makadesh Yikram HaTachton Shela. And Rabbi Elazar says crusting means that the bottom part of the bread has to crust. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what that means. So even Beis Hillel, who allows beginning a malacha before Shabbos starts and allowing that malacha to continue into Shabbos, over here is going to be machmir. And the reason is because in these cases, Beis Hillel is concerned Shami Yichata Begachalim, that a person might come to stoke the coals. So now the Mishnah brings a case where it's mutter to begin the roasting of meat right before Shabbos. So what would be an exception to this rule where we're not worried, Shemi Yechata, that you might come to stoke the coals? Mishal Shalinis HaPesach B'tanur. A person is allowed to put a Korban Pesach into an oven on Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha, when it's close to dark, meaning if Erev Pesach falls out on Erev Shabbos and you need to make your Korban Pesach, you need to roast your Korban Pesach before Shabbos, so you're allowed to start the roasting before Shabbos, even though the roasting is going to continue into Shabbos. And we're not worried Shemi Yichata B'Gechalim. And the Gemara is going to explain why we're not worried Shemi Yichata B'Gechalim, why it is that we're not worried that you're going to come to stoke the coals. Umachiznes ha'or b'maduris beis hamokat. Similarly, the Kohanim on Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, could light the little bonfire that they had in order to keep them warm in the beis hamokat, and it would continue lighting on its own into Shabbos, and they weren't choshesh that Shemi Yechata B'Gechalim, and the Gemara again will explain why they're not choshesh Shemi Yechata B'Gechalim. U'B'Gvulim, but anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they're not allowed to start a bonfire right before Shabbos, unless Kedei Shetechos Ha'or Berubo, unless there's enough time before Shabbos that the majority of the fuel will be lit on fire. Otherwise, you have to be choshesh that a person is going to be Mechata B'Gechalim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'Pachamin B'Kol Shehu, that if it's a Madura of Pachamin, then you only need a Kol Shehu, then you only need enough that some of it is lit, and then on its own it will light the rest of the way, because when you're dealing with Pachamin, when you're dealing with that which lights very easily and is very flammable, you don't have to worry Shemi Yechata, it's going to just light on its own, it's going to, so we're not concerned that anyone is going to mess with the fire over the course of Shabbos. So that's the Mishnah. So again, the Mishnah basically tells us that Beis Hillel is moda that you're not allowed to start cooking or baking before Shabbos, going into Shabbos, but there are exceptions, and that is, those exceptions are the cases of Korban Pesach, and the case of the Maduras Beis HaMokad, and when it's Kadesh HaTechos Beruba, when you have a bonfire, that the majority of the fuel is going to already be lit on Erev Shabbos. So now says the Gemara, Vikama. So the Gemara says, what is the shear that the meat or the onion or the egg has to be roasted before Shabbos begins in order to allow the continuous cooking of it into Shabbos? So Amar Rav Elazar Amar Rav, Kadesh Yitzalim Mibod Yom Kemachal Ben Drusai. It needs to be roasted enough like the food of Ben Drusai. Ben Drusai was a listim, he was a bandit, and he would eat his food when it was just barely cooked. So from that point on, as long as the food got to the point of Machal Ben Drusai before Shabbos, then it can continue cooking into Shabbos. This is what we call Shihiyah, to leave food cooking into Shabbos. Generally speaking, we're going to have a sugi about this later on in Parakira. Generally speaking, it's going to be usher to leave food cooking into Shabbos, but if it gets to the point of Machal Ben Drusai before Shabbos, then it's going to be mutter. What is Machal Ben Drusai? How cooked is Machal Ben Drusai? So Rashi over here says, Machal Ben Drusai means a shlish bishulo, one third of the cooking. There is a discussion in Achronim, how exactly do you measure one third of cooking? Cooking is not a quantitative change, cooking is a qualitative change. So how does one measure a third of something that's qualitative and not quantitative? So a number of the Achronim suggest, Chazanish and others, that you have to do it based on cooking time, that even though it's not that doesn't really conform to the reality, meaning the reality is that the cooking process speeds up as you get later into the cooking process, but if you divide it quantitatively in terms of the amount of time that it takes, that's what we're talking about, shlish bishulo. In Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Reish and Dalet, Shulchan Aruch says that it needs to get to chatzi bishulo, that it needs to get to half of its cooking time, not one third. So Magen Avraham comments that when it comes to Bishul Akum, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yardei Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, like the Shita, the Machal Ben Drusai is one third cooked. It's Machlokas Rishonim, where the Machal Ben Drusai is one third or one half. When it comes to Bishul Akum, we're Mekil to say it's one third cooked. But over here, when it comes to the Chumrah of Isser Shabbos, the Magen Avraham writes, we're extra Machmir, like the Shita Sarambam, who holds that Machal Ben Drusai is Chatzi Bishul. And therefore, we don't really Paskin like this Rashi over here, who says that it's Machal Ben Drusai is Shlish. We Paskin in Shulchan Aruch that it's really Chatzi Bishul. Okay, so now the Gemara brings a Raya that Machal Ben Drusai counts as being cooked already. So Itmar Nami, Amar Avasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Shu Machal Ben Drusai, Ein Bo Mishum Bishulei Nachrum. Anytime something is cooked by a Jew to the point that it's Kemachal Ben Drusai, so if a non-Jew then cooks it the rest of the way, it is not a violation of Bishul Aklum, because it was already Ro'i La'achila based on what the Jew had contributed to the cooking. So we see from there that once something gets to the point of Machal Ben Drusai, we consider it to already be Mevushal. So the same is true when it comes to Shihiyah, that if something is cooked to Machal Ben Drusai on Erev Shabbos, it's already considered to be Mevushal. Tanya Chananya Omer Kol Shu Kemachal Ben Drusai Mutu La'ashos Al Gabi Kira Ve'afal Pi She'ein Grufa Uketuma. That any time something is cooked to the point of Machal Ben Drusai, you're allowed to leave it from Erev Shabbos cooking on the Kira, even though the Kira is not Grufa Uketuma, even though the stove is not covered with ashes, nor did you sweep out the coals, meaning those are the things that you would do in order to avoid the problem of Shemi Yechata. You'd sweep out the coals so there is no coals to stoke anymore, or you'd cover them with ashes so that it would be a reminder that that stoking the coals is not something that you're allowed to do. So even if it's ain't a Grufa Uketuma, means like it's an exposed flame, it's like a wide open coals that are still lit, and nevertheless, once it's Machal Ben Drusai, we're not worried that you're going to come to stoke the coals. So that's what Hananya tells us in this Braisa. This is a much larger sugya that we're going to learn about a little bit later on in Parakira, that the Chachamim disagree with Chananya. The Chachamim hold that you're not allowed to leave food cooking on Erev Shabbos on a Kira that's not Grufa Ketuma, on an open flame, unless it's Mevushal called Tzarcho, that the food actually has to be fully cooked before Shabbos. That's the shita of the Chachamim. And there's a further machloka samaraim. What does mevushal kol tzarcho mean? Does it have to be cooked to the point where any further cooking is going to make it worse, mitstamik v'ralo? Or no, just the point that it's, even if it's mitstamik v'yafalo, but that it's mevushal kol tzarcho. But that's the shita of the Chachamim, that if it's not mevushal kol tzarcho, it has to be 100% cooked. If it's not 100% cooked, then you're not allowed to leave it cooking into Shabbos. Chananya's shita is that even if it's only at the point of Machal Ben Drusai, you're allowed to leave it on the Kira, that's Einu Grufu Ketuma, from Erev Shabbos. That's going to be the machlokas that we're going to have later on between Chananya and the Chachamim. In general, we try our best to be machmir. We try to make sure that we put a blech on any open flame, unless it's at the point where it's mevushal kol tzarcho. But it could be, we'll see later, whether Me'ikar Adin, maybe we paskin like Chananya, but we always try to be machmir for the sheet of the Chachamim as well. Then the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to put bread in an oven unless it's going to crust mi ba'od yom. And Rabbi Lezer said, k'deish yikrom ha-tachton shela. So says Mari Bayiluhu, tachton hech de gabe taner, or dilma tachton hech de gabe or. How do you define what's called the tachton of the bread? Is the tachton of the bread the surface of the bread that's touching the tanur? They would wrap the dough around the tanur, so the surface of the bread that's touching the tanur, or is it the side of the bread that's closest to the fire? So the Gemara raises that question. So we have a braisa that says it pretty explicitly that panel means that which is midubakin betanur, that which is actually attached to the tanur. That's what a tachton shala actually means. Then we had said that there is an exception to this rule of shemi yechata begechalim, and that is two exceptions. Number one, when you make the Karban Pesach on Erev Shabbos, we're not worried that you're going to come to be mechata begechalim. And the second exception is the maduras beis hamokad, the fire they would keep in the beis hamikdash to keep the kohanim warm. So mishal shalim as a Pesach, my taima, why is it that you're allowed to start the roasting of the Karban Pesach right before Shabbos, even though it's not going to get to machal ben drusai before Shabbos starts? Why aren't we worried shemi yechata begechalim? So says Gemara, mishum debnei chabura zrizenhein, because the people who are part of your chabura for your Karban Pesach are zrizim. That's the halacha. Karban Pesach is brought by chabura, meaning a number of families would get together and they would join in on a single Karban Pesach. The halacha is that you'd have to be registered on a Karban Pesach. So a number of families would all, they figure out how much meat the that animal could produce in order to make sure that there's enough for, they didn't have one Karban Pesach for family, they had one Karban Pesach for every couple of families, and they would all join together, and they would have to eat the Karban Pesach together. That's the way it was meant to be eaten, with a chabura, with a whole group, and you had to be pre-registered in advance on that group. So there were people that were making sure that everything was done properly. So since the B'nai Chabura are zrizin, no one is going to come to be mechata b'gechalim, no one is going to come to stoke the coals, because the people of the Chabura are there to remind each other not to do so. The Sfasemes raises a question. He says, what does that mean? B'nei Chabura's reasoning. Who are these B'nei Chabura? They could be anybody. Meaning there's everyone has a Chabura. Meaning that the entire Klal Yisrael had to bring Karban Pesach. So they're all Zrizim. Every Chabura is Zrizim. You break up Klal Yisrael into small groups of a couple of families each. There's got to be a few neighborhoods where those couple of families are not going to be the biggest Zrizim in the entire world. How can you just make a blanket statement that B'nai Chabura are Zrizim? So Sfasema says, no, what it must be is that among each Chabura, they would pick the best among them to take charge, meaning to be in charge of the spiritual side of things. That, you know, if you have a couple of families, so they'll take the kid who just came back from yeshiva, who's on fire with kanos or whatever, and they'll say, okay, you're in charge of making sure the Karban Pesach happens properly. So he's gonna take it seriously, and he'll guard it. They'll always find someone among those families who will be in charge that will make sure that other people are not mechat to begechalim. Okay, says the Gemara, halav hachilo. Sounds like if not for the fact that Bnei Chabura is Rizim, then it would not be mutter to start roasting your Karban Pesach right before Shabbos. Ay, v'amar mar, Gadya Bein Sarik Bein Lo Shirik Shapir Dami, that if you're roasting a Gedi, you don't have to worry Shemi Yechata Begechalim, because when you would never want to open the oven anyway, meaning once you expose it to air, it's going to ruin the roasting of the Gedi. So isn't there automatically not a concern of Shemi Yechata Begechalim when it comes to roasting a gedi, which is a carbon pesach? So says Gemara, no, hasa mintach, hacha lo mintach. Now, only exposing it to air, exposing it to the atmosphere, is only going to be harmful if it's cut up into the limbs, the animal's cut up into different limbs. So then, while you're roasting it, if you open up the oven, so then it's going to ruin it, and we wouldn't have to be concerned, shemi yechata. But the way the carbon pesach was roasted was called a gedi mekulas. It was a helmeted goat, that they would take the entire animal and put it on a spit as a single unit. So apparently when roasting that way, opening it up and exposing it to the atmosphere would not ruin it. And therefore there is a legitimate concern, Shemi Yechata B'Kchalim, if not for the fact that the Bnei Chabura are Zrizenheim. And then we had the second exception. Umachizin es ha'or. We said that they can start the fire for the Beis HaMokad. So minani mili, how do I know that you don't have to worry that maybe they're going to stoke the coals of the fire for the Beis HaMokad that keeps the Kohanim warm? So Rav Huna answers, it's based on the Pasuk, Lo sivaru eish b'chol moshvo seichem. Pasuk says, you're not allowed to light fires b'chol moshvo seichem on Shabbos. So we darshin, b'chol moshvo seichem. It sounds like you're not allowed to light fires in your own homes, but you're allowed to light fires in the Beis HaMokad on Shabbos. Says Gemara, Maskel Rav Chista, Ihachi Afil B'Shabbos Nami. Whoa, if that's your drasha, that Lo Sivaru Eish B'Chol Moshvo Seichem is only an Isser of Havara when it comes to your home, and there's no Isser of Havara when it comes to the Mikdash, then that would mean you're allowed to start a bonfire in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. That's ridiculous. It can't be that there's such a heter to do a malacha d'oraisa like that, to just start the fire. So why does it, and if this drush is for real, why didn't the Mishnah say that? The Mishnah says that the Maduris Beis HaMokad, I'm not worried about Shemi Yechata, I could start the fire right before Shabbos. But if this drush is for real, I should even be allowed to start the fire on Shabbos in the Beis HaMokad. Ella Amar Rav Chista Krakiyasa Lemishri Avarim Upadarim Udaasa. Nah, that pasuk about Havara B'chol Moshvo Seichem is not allowing you to burn fires in the Beis HaMikdash. No, what it's allowing you to do is to be Maktir on Friday night the Avarim and the Chalavim that are left over from the Karbanos of Erev Shabbos. That such a Havara is Tzorech Kavoa. Such a Havara is for the sake of the Karbanos, and that's why it's Mutar on Shabbos, because you're allowed to bring Karbanos on Shabbos. But lighting the Maduras Beis HaMokad, which is only to warm the Kohanim, no way that that's Mutar on Shabbos. So now we're back to our question then. Okay, so why am I allowed to light it right before Shabbos? Why aren't I worried that Shemi Yechata B'Gechalim? So answers the Gemara, Kohanim's reason, that's the real reason. It's because the Kohanim are very careful. The Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash are going to make sure that nobody is going to stoke the coals, no one is going to raise the fire in order to keep warmer. The Kohanim are careful enough to make sure that such a thing won't happen. But there's no way, the Gemara rejects this possibility, that Lo Sivaru Eish B'Chol Moshvo Seichem would just allow lighting fires in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. We know the Gemara tells us in a number of places that it's Dafka, the Malacha of Havara, that the Torah singles out. Every other Malacha of Shabbos we only know from the fact that it was done in the Mishkan, and that's how we know the juxtaposition between the Mishkan and Shabbos. So we're in last week's parsha, actually, so that's how we know that the 39 Malachos of Shabbos are derived from the Mishkan. But the Torah singles out Havara as a separate issue, so the Gemara has a Machlok in a number of different places, why it is that Lo Sivaru Eish B'Chol Moshvo Seichem singled out, whether it's Havara L'Chalik Yatzis or Havara L'Lav Yatzis. Is it to tell me that Havara is a lower level Isser, that it's only a Los Haseh and not a Chiv Misa, not a Chiv Skila? Or do we say no, that Havara is an example, it's a paradigm that we're using Havara, just like your Chayiv for the Malach of Havara, independent of all the other Malachos, so to any single Malacha that you violate, you get punished for separately, and therefore if you do all 39 malachos, you get 39 different punishments. That would be avara l'chalik yatzis. But nowhere do we say, even though the Gemara has a hava mean over here that Havar is just going to be mutter in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not willing to go that far. Okay, ubegvulim kedei shetechus. And then we said, outside of the Mikdash, if you want to light a fire, you have to make sure shetechus ha'or beruban before Shabbos. So it says, where my ruban? What does it mean, ruban? That the fire grabs hold of rov. So amarav, rov kol echad ve'echad. It means rov of each and every piece of wood in that bonfire is on fire already before Shabbos. U'shmuel amar k'dei shlo yomru havei eitzim v'naniach tachtein. Shmuel says, no, it doesn't even have to be a measured rov of 51%. It just has to be enough that if the fire is large enough and that you see that it's taking well enough that no one is ever going to need to say, bring some more wood over here so that we can keep this fire going. It's very evident that the fire is self-sustaining. Tanir Rav Chiya L'Siyoy L'Shmuel, so we bring a raya to Shmuel. The Pasuk says, when it talks about lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, it says, L'halos ner tamid. So we darshan, k'deish te shal heves ola me'eleha, that the flame should be going on its own, v'losh te shal heves ola al yidei davar acher, but it shouldn't require any extra support. So just like the menorah, it's good enough that it's ola me'eleha, that as long as you don't have to come and support the flame, but you don't need rova the wick to actually be on fire, so too, when it comes to the madura that you're lighting on Erev Shabbos, you don't need the actual majority of the madura to be lit. You just need that it would be self-sustained. So the Gemara now explains the din of lighting a single piece of wood on Erev Shabbos. Eitz yichidi. What if you light one piece of wood? Rav amar rov ovyo va'amri l'barov hakefo. So Rav says rov of the thickness of the piece of wood has to already be on fire, and some say that no, rov of the hekef, rov of the circumference of the wood. The fire has to be around most of the piece of wood. Amar Rav Papa Hilkach bin in rov ovyo u'bin in rov hakefo. We're extra machmir, we require both. Kitanoi, and this issue is really machlokas tanoim, whether you need rov ovyo of a particular piece of wood or rov hakefo. Why? Because we have a brisa. Rabbi Chiya Amar, Rabbi Chiya says the shear that you need on a single piece of wood is kedei sheyishaches ha'etz mimaleches hu'uman, that the wood would no longer be able to be usable for malacha, that as long as it gets to rov avyo and it's the fire has penetrated the thickness of the piece of wood, so then that wood is going to be ultimately useless. The fire just has to be coming from both sides of the piece of wood, which makes it sound like rov hekefo. Even though there's no raya from a pasuk, we do have a zecher from a pasuk in Yecheskel. Pasuk says, as shnek tzos of achle eish v'tocho nochar hayitzlach l'malacha, that when a fire grabs both ends of a piece of wood, everyone knows that the moisture in the wood is gone. It's totally dried out, and then it's not going to be able to be used for malacha anymore. So you see from there that when the eish grabs on to rov hekefo of the eitz, so then it's going to be self-sustaining and it's not going to extinguish anymore. That's the zecher ledavar. The Ritva points out, why isn't that a raya ledavar? It seems pretty explicit in the pasuk that when you get to rov hekefo, then the wood is not going to be useful for any other malacha, because you know that this wood is going to continue to burn. So the Ritva writes, because it's a pasuk in Yecheskel and it's not really about wood, it's a mashal about Klal Yisrael. So a lot of the Divrei HaNaviim are mashal v'chida. They're allegory, and they're meant to be understood as such. So it's not an exact raya, because it's not meant to describe to us how fire burns. But of course, it's only a good mashal if it makes sense. So that's why it's at least a zecher l'davar, because it would be silly to give a mashal in something that doesn't conform to reality whatsoever. But that's the very important klal when it comes to Divrei HaNaviim. You know, Rashi in his commentary on Chumash has a klal that he goes with throughout his commentary in Chumash, that ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. That pshuto shel mikra is always correct. By Nevi'im, we probably do not have such a rule. By Nevi'im, of course, the mikra is yotze midei pshuto. Much of the Divrei Nevi'im are meant to be stated in allegory. It's meant to be understood as a mashal v'chida, as something that That is purely a mashal, right? That's what the Rambam writes, that ein bein olam hazeh liyimos haMashiach el shibud malchios bilvad, that the only difference between olam hazeh and yimos haMashiach, like the Gemara tells us, is shibud malchios, and the Rambam says, and all of the descriptions in the Nevi'im about the supernatural occurrences during yimos haMashiach, they're all mashal v'chida, they're all just mishalim. So like, for example, when it says Garza Evim Keves means that the other nations of the world aren't going to be attacking us anymore. It doesn't mean that the sheep and the lamb are actually going to the wolf and the lamb. That's the name of the restaurant, right? That the wolf and the lamb are not going to be able to are all of a sudden going to live in peace with each other. So anyway, so that's the so when it comes to Divrei Nevi'im. When it comes to Divrei Nevi'im, we can assume that things are very often are mashal v'chida. So anyway, so the Gemara now brings Machlokas Amorayim about the explanation of the pasuk where we mention the madura, where we mention a madura of Eitzim, where we mention this this idea of a bonfire. So the pasuk describes Yehoyakim burning Megillas Eicha. So a little bit of background: Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Yirmiyahu Navi that he should write Megillas Eicha, and he wrote it al yidei Baruch ben Neria, and then they brought it to the Melech Yehoyakim, and they read it in front of him, the first few psukim, and when they got to Hayutzareha L'Rosh, where it became clear that the Malchus Yisrael would be destroyed, so Yehoyakim had demanded that they burn the Megillah in a fire that was lit in front of him. The Gemara Moed Katan elaborates on this Maisa, but the Pasuk says, V'ha'ach l'fan of Mivo Eres. So, my ach, what does it mean? Ach was l'fan of Mivo Eres. What is ach? So, Amarav, achvana. It's arava wood. Ushmuel amar etzim shenidluku ba'achva. It's wood that lights one from the other. That you have smaller pieces of wood that serve to light the larger pieces of wood. Ha'uda da'amar luhu man bay achvana ishtaka charavta. And there's just a raya to the shita of Rav, that ach means arava wood, because there was a guy that said, who wants to buy achvana? And what was he selling? He was selling arava wood. So you see that that achvana means the wood of aravos. That if you light a madura with reeds on Erev Shabbos, close to Shabbos, you don't need to make sure that the majority of it is lit before Shabbos. It's good enough that some of it is lit, because it's very flammable and will be self-sustaining even if it's not rove lit before Shabbos. Agadon, if you made them into a bundle, tzrichen rove, then you do need a majority of it to be lit before Shabbos. Garinin, if you have date seeds that are dried out and you're using them as fuel, ain't shrichen rov. You don't need the majority of them to be lit. It's flammable enough that we assume it will be a self-sustaining fire anyway. Nisan bechosalos, but if you put those date seeds in these baskets, then shrichen rov. Then it does need to be majority lit. So says Gemara, wait a second. Maslar chisa adraba ipcha mistavra. If you just have loose reeds, so they're not together, and therefore if one of them lights on fire, it's not necessarily going to light the next one on fire, so it's going to be less likely to be a self-sustaining fire. But once you bundle them together, then they'll be in close proximity to each other, then it's more likely that they're going to light each other on fire. And the same by the garinin mibadron, if you have loose dry date seeds, so then they'll be scattered all over the place and you don't know that one is going to light the next one. But if you put them in baskets where they're self-contained, then they're not going to scatter, and then they'll for sure light from one to the other. So all of this is backwards. Why is it that when you bundle the kanim, or when you put the seeds in the basket, do we say that we don't believe the fire is going to be self-sustained? Adrabah, we should believe more that the fire is going to be self-sustained. So the Gemara brings a third shita, Itmar, Amar Rav Kahana, Kanim Sha'agodon, Tzrichen Rov. Lo Agodon, Ain Tzrichen Rov. If you have Kanim that are bound together, so then you need Rov. But if they're not bound together, you don't need the fire on to be latched on to the Rov of them before Shabbos, because they'll light on their own. Like Ravuna said, garinin tzrichin rov, nesanim b'chosalos ain't tzrichin rov. The garinim, when they're loose, you require rov, but if they're put into baskets, then they don't require rov, because they're easily lit, and they'll be much more self-sustaining. So that's like shitas rav chista, meaning this third shita sort of splits the two. When it comes to the kanim, he says the counterintuitive thing that we've been saying, that when it's bundled together, we're less likely to believe that it's going to be self-sustaining. But when it comes to the date seeds, when they're put inside a basket, we're more likely to believe that it will be self-sustaining. So Tanya Rav Yosef, Arba Maduros Ein Tzrichin Rov. There are four types of Maduros that you don't need Rov of it to be lit on fire, because they'll light on their own. Shal Zephas, V'shal Gafras, V'shal Gvina, V'shal Revav. Those are the names of the types of fuel that are so flammable that even if Rov of it is not lit before Shabbos, that it's all going to, we assume it's going to be a self-sustaining fire. Now, the Rishonim are bothered by the word gvina. What kind of fuel is gvina? Gvina means cheese. Cheese is not a usable fuel at all. So the Rif has a different girsa. He has a girsa of kira, which means some type of wax. Rashi says that it means that wax is included in a revav, and it could be Rashi didn't have the girsa of gavina. Something has to be done with this word gavina, or it's referring to something else. B'masnisatana, afshal kash v'shal gavava, that even something made out of hay or straw is also something that's very, very flammable, therefore, you don't have to have the rov of it on fire before Shabbos. You assume that it will be a self-sustaining fire anyway. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eitzim Shel Bavel, Ein Tzrichin Rov. The firewood of Bavel does not require rov either, because it's also a very flammable material. Maskev Rav Yosef Maihi, what type of Eitzim are you talking about that's very flammable? Ilei Mesilti, if we're talking about regular Eitzim that are cut into very tiny pieces, like they used to do in Bavel, Hashta Psila Amar Ula Madlik tzarek shiyadlik barov hayotze, so silti mibayi, even a single wick that's immersed in oil that's very easily lit, ula still requires the majority of the wick that protrudes out of the oil has to be on fire before Shabbos starts in order for you to be allowed to light it like that. So silta, certainly when you have a bunch of little pieces of wood, certainly you should need the majority of them lit on fire. So what kind of fire in Bavel are we talking about? Or Eitzim Shel Bavel are we talking about that do not require rov? Ela Amar Rav Yosef Shova Da'arza. It's a branch of a cedar tree which is very dry and very narrow. And there's like this woolly type of substance between the bark and the wood of the tree. So when the fire latches on to that woolly type of substance, it's going to continue to burn the entire branch, and you don't have to worry that maybe you're going to need to support that fire. It's going to sustain itself. Rami Bar Abba Amar Zaza. He says it's a different thing. It's the wood that you don't need to support the fire is a very dry type of branch from a tree called a zaza, which apparently is also very flammable and once it's lit on fire, you can assume that fire will continue. So Hadron Lachitzios HaShabbos, and now we begin the second parak Bama Madlikin. So says the Mishnah, Bama Madlikin Vame Madlikin. What are you allowed to light with? What are you not allowed to light with? So first of all, Rashi has to tell us right off the bat, what do you mean, what are you allowed to light with? As far as what? There are two parts of every ner. There are three parts, actually. There's the kli that holds the fuel. There's the fuel, and then there's the wick. Right? So, bam madlikin, bam e'im madlikin, what are we talking about over here? So Rashi says, lasus psila. What's a kosher kind of wick to use for lighting Shabbos candles? It's also somewhat fascinating that we never even discuss that there is a chiyuv to light Shabbos candles. The Gemara just assumes, the Mishnah just assumes that we know that there's a chiyuv to light Shabbos. It doesn't say it in the Torah anywhere, that there's a chiyuv to light Shabbos candles, right? So it's a din of kavanah and oneg. It's a din midivrei kabbalah. It's not even a din min haTorah. And yet the Mishnah assumes that sometimes you'll have Mishnayos that will pick up on what it says in Chumash, and we'll pick up from where we left off in Chumash. But over here, it's not even that. We're just assuming that there's such a chiyuv to light Shabbos candles, and we're saying, okay, what are wicks that are allowed to be used? Say malikin lo belechash v'lo becholson v'lo bechalach v'lo besilas iidon v'lo besilas amidbar v'lo virokash al pnei amayim. The Gemara is going to discuss what each of those things are. Those are things that you're not allowed to use for wicks. And then Velo Bezefes, but starting from Velo Bezefes, Rashi writes, Lavli Inyan Psila El Lassis B'makom Shemen. Now we're no longer talking about wicks. Now we're talking about fuels, oils that are no longer, that are not kosher for Shabbos candles. Velo Bezefes, some type of tar. Velo Beshava, wax, it sounds like. Velo Beshem, which is a problematic if we just say it's Stam wax, because a lot of people do light Shabbos candles with wax. Velo Beshem Kik, Velo Beshem Sreifa, not kik oil, not oil that's supposed to be burnt, which means Truma Tamea oil that has to be burnt. Velo Baalia, nor a fatty tail. Velo Bechelev, or other animal fats. Nachma Amadi Omer, and Nachum Adi says you can light with cooked fat. Whether it's cooked or not cooked, you cannot light with chalev. So now, let's try to translate each of these items. So lechesh, what is lechesh? Shucha diarza. It's shucha diarza. Okay, whatever that is. Shucha diarza says where eats bialmu. That's just a regular piece of wood. What would be the problem of using that as a wick? So says Gemara, ba'amrenisa di'ispe. Now, what would be the problem? Meaning, how could that even be used as a wick? I assume we're asking. It's not royal psila. It's wood. It's firewood. A wick would have to be something softer. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about the woolly substance that's inside this piece of wood that could actually be turned into a wick. That sometimes, in between, like we just said before, in between the bark and the wood, you sometimes have a woolly type of substance. V'lobuchosen, Amr Rav Yosef, na'ores shal pishtan. It's flax. Amr le'abayi v'aksiv, v'yachosen le'na'ores. But it says, ha'chosen le'na'ores, so isn't chosen not the same as na'ores? Ela Amr Abaye, kistna d'dayik v'lo'nafetz. It means flax that's beaten but hasn't been combed. We asked all the seafarers and they told us it's called kulcha. Rav Yitzchak bar Zeira amar gushkara. It's called gushkara. Ravin v'abaya v'yashi kamei d'ravna nechemya achod reish kalusa chazi davlovish matachsa. They saw that he was wearing a matachsa, meaning clothing made out of this kelech. Samle ravin v'abaya hainu kelech d'tanan. They saw he's wearing that clothing. They're like, oh, that's like it says in the Mishnah. He's wearing that material. Amle anan shira paranda karina le. Oh, we call that something else. We call it shira paranda. Meisve ashira im vakelech vasirkin chayavin betzitzis. That we learn in a brisa that all of these items are chayiv and tzitzis, but it says shiraim and kelech separately. So apparently shiraim and kelech are not the same thing. So how can you say that they mean the same thing? So it says more. Two possibilities. Either tiyufta, you're right, it's a good kasha, or ibay say mashira luchud vishira pranda luchud. That there's a difference between shira and shira pranda. So shiraim and kelech are not the same thing, but shira pranda and kelech may be the same thing. When it's listing those items that are chayiv and tzitzis, Rashi points out that this is clearly assuming, like those shitos, that it's not only tzemer upishtim that are chayiv and tzitzis. It's a major machlokus in the Gemara Maseches Menachos, machlokus Rishonim, and machlokus Mechaber and Ramah had a Paskin, whether only wool and linen begadim are chayiv and tzitzis midar raisa. Everyone agrees that cotton, for example, is chayiv midrabanan at least. But the question is whether it's chayiv and tzitzis midar raisa. It happens to be for Ashkenazim, we paskin that even cotton tzitzis are chayiv midar raisa. That's why sometimes you have some great gedolim who keep every single chumra in the book and still don't wear wool tzitzis. The stipler of Chaim Kanievsky, the Chazanish, they all wore cotton tzitzis because for Ashkenazim, itaka is chayiv on a Daraisa level in Sittis. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the second wide line on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Everyone have a great day.